visitor integration, and so we're so thankful for her and her team. Hopefully, if you're a visitor this morning, you felt welcomed, and we're just so thankful for you being here. It's been a very momentous week. Friday night, we had the Awana closing ceremony, and it was so cool to see 200 kids just celebrating what God has done. We thank God for the 40-plus coworkers who serve them week in, week out, and we look forward to letting them have a little rest so they can come back strong in August. If you can help out in Awana, I guarantee you the Awana coworkers, please contact either Pan Por Tong or Petty Go, and they'll tell you a bit about more you can do. Also, VBS is coming up, and if you want to help out there, well, I certainly would like your help as well. Yesterday, we had a memorial service for Mark Levine, and a celebration of his life and a remembrance of what he was as a father, husband, friend to those who love him so much, brother. So please continue to pray for the Levine family. I see Jamie Huang is here, even though she's supposed to have her baby today. So I'm assuming, we're assuming, Jamie, you're going to see yourself in this message this morning, okay? We're gonna, we assume that God is still baking the bread in the oven right now, and we look forward to how God's going to work there. I don't know. I'm really excited. See these pants? It's part of a suit, man. I bought it 30 years ago. All this to say, if you get something from Hong Kong, man, they know how to make good stuff. Okay, so, yeah, I was taken out a little bit. But still, 30 years old, I'm really happy. All right, it's not enough about me. It's about moms, okay? Today, we celebrate mothers. If you are a mother, mother-to-be, wanna-be mother, I don't know what. If you are a mother, we'd love to have you stand up right now so we can recognize you. Mothers, please. Wow, all over the place. On behalf of your children, parents, husbands, we just love you to death. Thank you for being such great inspirations to us. Today we celebrate our mothers. No, I have to admit the Bible doesn't declare, and I went through the entire Bible, does not declare that we have a holiday to elevate moms. Okay, it's not there. I think that's Hallmark did that. But I think we could infer in how much mothers are elevated in the Bible. And I thought about that. Why is that? Why are moms esteemed in the Bible? It's because mothers are so helpful. They are insightful. All of us have learned something from our mothers. I got this poll of things. I hope you find it humorous because I did. What have you and I learned from our mothers? Okay? How about this? My mother taught me anticipation. Well, just wait until your father gets home. How many of you have had that? Yeah. How about this? My mother taught me about logic. If you fall out of the swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. I've used something similar with my boy, and he seems to fall in line. How about this one? My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't get an A on your math test, you'll never get a good job. Yeah, I know some of you parents are doing that to your kids. How about this one? My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your bitter melon, you'll never grow up, okay? My parents one time forced the three of us to eat liver. We would not eat it. 5 o'clock dinner, still sitting there. 6 o'clock dinner, sitting there. 7, 8 o'clock, finally they gave up. They never served us dinner again. So, no. They served. That's why I can fit into these pants. No. No. They fed us dinner. They just never fed us liver again. All right. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about the wisdom of age. When you get to me my age, you'll understand. Okay? Oh, come on. We've all used that one. And finally, this last one I love. My mother taught me about justice. Someday you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. How many of you have gone back to your parents and said, you were right, Mom. You were right. Okay. How about this? These are questions that were asked by kids about their moms. Okay, I love these too. How about this one? Why did your mom marry your dad? My dad makes the best spaghetti, and my mom likes to eat a lot. She got too old to do anything else with him. And finally, my grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on. Oh, this one. Who's the boss at your house? I've asked this one of my kids. Mom doesn't want to be the boss, but she has to because dad's such a goofball. I guess mom is, but only because she has a lot more to do than dad. See, kids know. They do know. How about this one? What's the difference between moms and dads? Moms work at work and work at home, and dads just got to work at work. Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Hey, dad, you ever talk to a teacher? Yeah, we scare them. All right. And finally, dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power because that's who you got to ask if you want to have a sleepover at your friend's, okay? See, moms, you really do have the power. You just don't know. How about this one? What would it take to make your mom perfect? Go on. On the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. How about this one? Diet. You know, her hair. I'd dye it maybe blue, okay? Okay, and the final question. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? She has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. I love those, man. But evidently some of you, I don't see you smiling, so I'm not sure what that means. This is my way of introducing ourselves to the woman that we want to look at this year for Mother's Day. In the past, we looked at some of the best mothers to share about. Proverbs 31 woman, who is my wife, by the way. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, a son that she sacrificed for ministry. Naomi, a mother-in-law who showed incredible love for her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. When I go through all the mothers, these are the A-list. These are the great moms. But now we got to go to the bench. We got to go to those moms that maybe aren't primary tier. They're secondary tier. And the one that I want to go to today is Eve. Now, if you think about it, Eve had it tough, didn't she? She was the first woman, first wife, first mom, and as such, all of you are firstborns. I'm a firstborn. Know this. She had it most difficult because there was no one for her to model after. All the younger siblings, you know that with your own families, they get to do things more. But Eve was the first of her kind. And so this morning, I'm kind of glad that we're looking at this woman. And what I want to do in the short time we have is ask the question this. From looking at Eve, how can you and I help our mothers out? Now, this isn't a message for you mothers because you guys are perfect, okay? So we can't say anything more about you. But we can say something about the rest of us who need to deal with you as moms. How can we help you out? How can we be better for you? So without further, let's just open with a word of prayer and let this sink into our hearts. Father, I just thank you for this time, and I thank you for our mothers. I pray that they would be encouraged this morning, and I pray that we would encourage them. We know we're not perfect, but Lord, help us to strive to honor our mothers today. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How can you and I help mom out? Okay, now there's no outline, so if you want to take a mental thing, you all got your smartphones, put in your notes, whatever. It's just 3 points. But how can you and I help mom out? This morning we're going to look at 3 groups of people and how we can help our mom out. And the first of these are you fathers. That is the husbands of our moms. How many of you are husbands this morning? Just raise your hand right now. I see some of you looking over at your wife saying, is that right? Should I answer this question? Gosh. Man up, guys. To look at how fathers can help our mothers, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 3, where Eve met up with the serpent in the Garden of Eden. The chapter begins by saying that the snake was craftier than any other creature. And as such, he poses a question to Eve. This is what he asked her. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You say, well, that seems very innocuous. But look at how Eve responds in verses 2 and 3. She says, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from that tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You see, Eve seemed very sure of what God had told her. But is that what God had said? And the answer is no. The text where we pick up God's initial command is found in chapter 2, verses 15 and following. It says, "The Lord God took the man, that is Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it." By the way, work was actually fun back then, guys, okay? Not anymore, right? "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" That is what God commanded. Now, note the two texts. Eve got the first part right about eating from any tree in the garden, but she missed on the two other accounts. One, God said that if you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. Not just die, you will surely die. How many of you use that words when talking? There's a difference between surely, because it adds emphasis. It's not maybe, it's not, we'll see. It's, you're going to die if you eat of that fruit. The second thing is this. She added that they weren't even supposed to touch the tree. The tree was not poison oak, okay? Poison ivy. God didn't say that, did he? So if God didn't say that, where did Eve get this misinformation from? The answer, of course, is from her husband, Adam. You see, at the time of the command by God to Adam, Eve hadn't been created, right? And so God gave the command, and then he created Eve. Now, it was up to Adam, as the spiritual head of this new family, to convey the information that God had given to him to his new wife. And like men throughout all generations, and you wives can look at your husbands right now, he got it wrong. Why? Because he didn't listen. Wives out there, let me tell you something if you didn't know it already. Husbands, if you don't know it already, you know it now. We're going to say it publicly, okay? I don't listen well. Let's say it all together, men. Look at your wives if you're with them right now. I don't listen well. Wives, I see you nodding your head. Yeah, I know that already. So, if that's true, what should you and I as husbands do for our wives? Well, it's very simple. Husbands, learn to communicate better with your wives. Learn to communicate better. We tend to be good at, okay, I tend to be good at talking. My wife can affirm that. But I think most men, we're good at giving advice. We're good at trying to problem solve. But we're not good at listening. And we forget that communication is a two-way process. It calls for active listening. The reason why Adam gave Eve wrong information is because he didn't listen carefully to the command of God. Now, I'm trying to imagine what happened in chapter 2 when God creates Adam and he gives this instruction to him. "Hey, Adam, listen. Look around you. See this garden?" And Adam is like, "Yeah, this is awesome. All these trees and these fruits are just hanging, you know, durian and, I don't know, guavas and mangoes. You go, every one of these trees, you can eat any fruit you want." And Adam automatically, like us watching a football game, gets locked in. He starts imagining eating all of this fruit. It's like the first buffet. I mean, you know, it's amazing. Speaking of buffets, how many of you guys are going to take your wives out? Maybe you already did it. I find Chinese are very practical. Why would I take my wife out on Sunday evening when everybody else is doing it? Let's go on a different night. How many of you have already taken your mom out or your wife out? Okay. How many of you are going to do it tonight or this afternoon? Man, where are we going here? Okay. Buffet, baby. Go to a buffet. There's a new one, by the way. Have you heard? Some have been over in 3 or 4 weeks. Jaboya. It's a sister to Pacific. It's located on Gilbert and Germain, I think it is. And I think it's about a half notch better or a notch better than Pacific. And the owners of Pacific own that, and they gave us a 10% discount, okay? So if you're a member of the church, and if you want to become a member of the church, you get a 10% discount at Pacific. And if you don't show your membership card, just say, "I know Pastor Derek." That'll get it for you. No, it won't. Okay. So here's the problem. When you go into a buffet like me, I don't know about you, first thing I do is I walk around. It's the man hunter thing. We're assessing the situation, okay? It's like, oh, Kalbi beef, sushi. Ah. So we men are locked in. We're focused. And when we're focused like that or on football, that's the worst time for our wives to talk to us, right? So we don't listen anyway, but we especially don't listen when we're locked in. And that's what I believe happened to Adam. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when you do, Adam, you'll surely die. And I was probably thinking, lobster, sushi, sashimi. Huh? What? What, God? Yeah, sure. Got it. Friends, when we recall the story of Adam and Eve, I don't know about you, if we're ignorant of the text, we tend to put the blame on Eve. I mean, she messed up royally, right? But I submit to you that Adam is partially to blame. Perhaps if he had listened better to God and then communicated more clearly to Eve, she may not have messed up. So Adam didn't listen, and he also failed to talk when he needed to. He failed in his role as a spiritual leader in his family because when Eve finally came to him with the fruit, what did he do? Did he say, "Woman, are you crazy? God told us not to eat that. What are you doing?" No, this is what he did. Ooh, what happened to the text? This is what he did. In verse 6, second part, it says, she gave some to her husband who was with her. She gave some to her husband, and he's standing right there. Do you know what that means? It means that he heard the entire dialogue between Eve and the serpent. And he's just sitting there passively. And she says, "This looks pretty good, Adam. What do you think?" "Okay." And he passively takes the fruit. So let me ask you, who was more foolish, Adam or Eve? Adam. Hands down, it was Adam. Not only did he fail to listen when God was talking, but he remained silent when he should have spoke up and stopped Eve from taking the fruit. Men, husband, the best way that we can help out our wives is to be better communicators. We need to listen. That doesn't mean just hearing the words. It means the more difficult task of hearing the heart. And I want you to know, do as I say, not as I do. My wife is the first one to say, you who know me, no. The first thing is, man, he just doesn't listen. But I can tell you, we're all part of the same race, man. If you got an XY chromosome, that's just the way we're built. We don't listen. But that doesn't mean we don't try. We need to continue to listen better. I'll give you an example with my wife. 8 years ago, was it, honey? She goes away to Burma, Myanmar. And during that time, we had talked about getting her a new car because our old car was giving her problems. And she was thinking about either the Lexus IS250 or a Prius because she was commuting to Mayo Clinic, and with the new HOV coming in the next few months, she would be able to go right up there in the carpool lane. Well, I guess I didn't hear her because she was still kind of pondering. So I took it upon myself to get her the IS250. What? I mean, what a husband, right? She comes home surprised, big bow on there. She was not happy, baby. Okay, she wasn't happy because I didn't listen. She says, "I'm still working through this. I just wasn't that good." I'm like, man, I got her a car. Doesn't matter what we do. If we're not listening, we're in trouble. Now, she's happy she has it now. I don't know. But the main thing isn't whether she's happy now. It's whether I was a good husband and listened to her. So, honey, I'm sorry, okay? And she got even, and we got the Honda van. Okay, so. And you ask the kids, my four-year-old boy, Ben, whose car is the van? Daddy's. Whose car is the very nice-looking IS250? Mommy. Okay, so. That's my punishment. So, man, let's not continue to make the mistake of Adam. Let's learn to listen when we find ourselves talking over our wives. And then after we listen to her, I might say God as well. And you know what? We do need to step up. There have been times when I do talk and listen to my wife, and there are times when God has convicted me that this is the right way to go. And only a handful of times. And it's really hard for me to say, honey, I hear you. I hear you. But I believe God wants us to go in this direction. It's difficult, but that's what we need to do if we want to help out our wives. So husband, you got it? Better communicators. Number two, older women. come alongside the younger women. Now, how many of you are older women? Yeah, I didn't think you'd say that. Okay. Older is a relative term. How many of you are older than some other woman in this room? Just raise your hand. Okay, see? Yeah, okay, good. Maybe you participate in those story riddles that people tell each other when you're going on a long vacation drive. You know, the ones that you have to use your brain power to figure out. Here's one. And let's see if any of you know it. You might have heard it before. An explorer is walking along a glacier when he spots a frozen woman embedded in the ice. He exclaims to himself, "This must be Eve, the mother of all mankind." The question is, how did he know? Anybody know the answer to that one? Oh, wow, we would have had a lot of fun going to L.A. together. The answer is this. The woman had no navel, belly button. You're like, what does that mean? Well, if you know the story of the account of Adam and Eve, how was Eve created? Out of the rib of Adam. She didn't come from nowhere other than from his side. So no belly button, no umbilical cord. She just came. So she's the only woman ever born without a belly button. Okay? You get it? Yeah, you got it. Now, here's the thing that I think is interesting about Eve. She's the first woman. And yet, here she is, and she has no idea, being the first woman ever created, on what it means to be a wife. Can you imagine what she thought after she became pregnant for the first time? First time ever pregnant. No other women around her. Gosh, I must be overeating. I'm gaining weight. Why are my ankles getting fat? My stomach is moving. Do I have a bad case of indigestion? She has no clue of what's going on. And then at the time of delivery, imagine, woman, you are alone. You have no one else. No hospital, no physician, no delivery nurses, no epidural. You do this birthing thing on your own. You think Adam was there? Come on. He was like, I'm going to go out and get dinner, honey. And when she gives birth to Cain, she exclaims to Adam, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." She's clueless on what it means to be a mother. Ladies, I'm sure that becoming a new wife or a new mother is a scary thing. How do I know? Because becoming a new father is a scary thing. And I was scared. When Bethany was born 12 and a half years ago, I was there in the waiting room, not in the waiting room. I was there in the room, and, you know, the doc is there, and he says, "Come on here, watch this." And I'm watching Bethany being born, and I'm like, "Put her back in, I'm not ready." And as soon as I cut that umbilical cord, I just remember thinking to myself, life will never be the same. For the next 18, 20 years, it's never going to be the same. And I was scared to death. I had really evil thoughts when I went home. I was not one of those husbands who stayed with my wife all night. My daughter was born about 11 o'clock. I went home. We're only a mile from the hospital. But I had these evil thoughts. Like, I'm telling you, this is what I thought. I don't want to be near that baby. I don't want to be near my wife. I mean, I was like, what kind of father, husband are you? You don't want to be. I slept the night through, woke up, and I felt better. I was just tired. But I remember thinking, wow, this fatherhood thing is hard. And I'm thinking, if I have it hard, my wife had to be with that baby crying all the time, feeding her all the time. So we know it's not easy. It's not easy. We husbands, we can go to the Kevin Lehman book, but our wives have to get the advice of these older women. And that's why the Apostle Paul was thinking about when he was addressing young pastor Titus. He said this, Titus 2:3-5. "Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." Older women, you can help out younger women by coming alongside them. Oop, we'll do that one later. There's so much that you older women, by older again, like I said, relative, older in terms of maturity, older in terms of slight age, for these younger women. Teenagers can help out children in Sunday school. My daughter, Bethany, 12 years old, helped out in Little Lamb Worship. Young single, you can help mentor high school girls or collegians. Mom, you can have a teenager home, you can encourage the mothers with infants. Empty nesters, you can encourage those moms with teenagers. I talked with Shirley Hoster, always sat over there. Shirley is our oldest member in the English congregation. And what's amazing is her and her late husband Jim got married during World War II when she was 16 years old and he was 18. She was 16. When I asked her what the secret to marriage was, she told me this. Write this down. It's only the first 50 years that are the most difficult. Oh my God. I tell you, that puts a lot of perspective on my life. Because Kathy and I have been married 14 years, roughly 20% of the time Jim and Shirley have been married. And it makes me realize how much effort we have to put into a marriage to make it good. And in the last few years, I've learned that I can only do so much to make our marriage better. I really do believe that. It sometimes takes an outsider, an older woman, who can help moms not to get discouraged with their husbands. Older women, come alongside the young women. Remember, there doesn't have to be a lot of years apart to be able to help. I remember when Kathy and I went to Chicago for the wedding of her younger cousin a few years ago, and she was able to talk to this cousin who was getting married, and she gave her invaluable advice. So ladies, I want to encourage you right now, look for someone younger, maybe in experience or in spiritual maturity, and come alongside, make an investment into these young women's lives. So husbands, we got to learn to communicate better. Older women, come alongside younger counterparts. Finally, we come to the children. How many of you are children of a parent? Raise your hand. That's not a trick question. Every hand should be up. How many of you, unless you came from a test tube, baby, I don't, okay. Children, cheer up rather than bring your mother's sorrow. Now, going back to Adam and Eve, you all know what happened. Eve listened to the serpent, took the fruit. Adam followed right behind her, and suddenly their eyes were open and they lost their innocence. They recognized their nakedness before God and hid themselves. Friends, you can try to hide from God, but he will always find you. It's like that little kid playing hide-and-go-seek. Remember that? Playing hide-and-go-seek? The little boy is there. I'm going to count to 10 and try to find you. Go hide. 1, 2, 3, and there. All the kids scatter, except for this one little girl. She's just lost. She doesn't know what to do. 4, 5, 6, she's just incapacitated. Doesn't know what to do. 7, 8, 9, and finally she just closes her eyes, gets down to the ground in a crouching position. 10, and she's immediately tagged. What's the problem? The problem is because covering her eyes keeps her from seeing, but doesn't keep her from being seen. God sees us no matter where, what we want, whether we want to be seen by him or not. You think that Adam and Eve could hide from God? No, and we can't either. So God tracks them down in the garden and confronts them about their actions. We see the effects of sin right away. Look at Adam's defense for what happened. The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Where did he put the blame? Yeah, on God. It wasn't on the woman. The woman, her, you did this to me, God. Why didn't you give me another one? Why didn't you take another rib? I don't know. So Adam blamed Eve. How about this? The serpent deceived me and I ate. That's what Eve said. Oh, it wasn't me, God. It was the serpent. By the way, indirectly, you created him. He deceived me and I ate. Wow. So they recognize and they messed up. And notice what they do. They blamed everyone. They blame God instead of themselves. And God has had enough with their excuses. He passes judgment on all of them. To the serpent and the man and the woman. To the serpent he says that you will be cursed of all animals. You will crawl on your belly and there will be enmity between your children and the woman's children. To the man he would toil painfully all his days producing thorns and thistles upon his death. I was talking to a young adult yesterday. Spent 65 hours in his work. I know some of you are doing the same. Work is painful. I love what I do. Gosh, I love shepherding. I really do. But it's painful. Men, that is the curse for us. Our work is toil. But to the woman, he said this, he would greatly increase her pain in childbearing. Maybe Cain came out like, whoop, real easy. But from then on, oh no, he didn't. He came later, after that. No, she knew pain. Do you realize that the first feeling you caused your mother when you were born was pain? And what's sad is that in many instances, dare I say most instances, we've continued to be a pain to our mother since. It happened to Eve. Her very firstborn son, Cain, what became of Cain? He became a murderer. And who did he murder? Her secondborn son. Can you imagine the pain Eve must have felt over the loss of her child by her disobedient and out-of-control oldest? The Bible says that we are to honor our fathers and mothers so that it will go well with us. What does that mean? If you're a child living at home, and I got to say this, collegians, you may not be living at home, but if you are, you are living at home. If you are financially being taken care of by your parents, in a sense, you are in that transitional time, then what it means is this, you need to obey your parents. Why is it when we were teenagers that we torment our parents so? We screamed that we deserve more freedom, but we didn't show the accompanying sense of responsibility. We need to obey. Collegian, you want to make your mom happy today? Engage with her and have meaningful conversation rather than blowing the time away on video games. And now that finals are over, I'm just going to goof around. Young person, if you do that, you'll bring a smile to your mom's face. Then you can go back to college life knowing that you were a good kid. That's how we honor our parents when we are still under their authority. For those of us who are young adults and older, honoring your parents means showing them respect. It means listening to them. It's just a given that those of us who are younger think that we know everything. That's just the way it is. It's not until we're older that we begin to realize in wisdom that we don't know everything. With age comes wisdom. And the wisest thing that you and I can do is not discount our parents, but instead stop and listen. Because if we listen, we probably will learn something. Respect the fact that your mom has more wisdom, more maturity, more experience than you do. Young person, you can help your mom by showing her the respect she deserves. And finally, for those whose mothers are senior citizens, you need to honor your parents by taking care of them. That doesn't necessarily mean that you take them into your home, but it does mean that you ensure that all of their physical needs are attended to. It means visiting them on a regular basis. It means for me, I got to call my mom today, okay, and wish her a happy Mother's Day. It means bringing them their favorite food, bringing by the grandkids, talking with them instead of at them. And the best example I have in my life is my wife, Kathy, because her parents live 4 miles away from us. And for the last few years, she has made 90% of their food. She has become an awesome cook because she cooks for 7 now. And I'm very thankful. She goes and visits them, and we see them. And every Sunday evening, we have dinner with them. We're trying to honor her parents. And my brother and sister especially are honoring my parents in the Bay Area. So in conclusion, an elementary school teacher once asked her class this question. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? Why did God give you your mom and not some other mom? 2 answers. We're related. But more importantly, this. God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. I thank God for my mother. I'm sure your mom has made mistakes. My mom has made mistakes. But I'm thankful for my mother. And I know you thank God for the mother he gave you. Let's honor them by being the best husband, children, and friends that we can be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message about mothers. Lord, you are a great God. You love us so much. And you love our mothers. Help us to be a blessing to them right now, Lord. As we have our children, we realize, wow, it must have been even more of a hassle back then with less of the technological breakthroughs for them to raise us. We have 2 kids. They had 4. They had less money than us. They had less resources than us. And yet they did the best they could. Let's remember them, Lord, and thank them for their love for us. Be with us now, Lord, as we continue to worship you. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.